And welcome back to another episode of Creatives Chat with Rusty Hill and Peter Lucas. Today, Peter, who's on our show?
We have one of, honestly, my favorite people, Tane Jr. And really, if you look at who he is as a person, he's one of the most respected musicians and artists in Seattle because he spreads nothing but love and he's incredibly professional, skilled. He does it all. So I'm really excited to have this chat today. It's the creator of The Cure himself, the Mr. Co-host, Tane Jr. How you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing great, Pete. How are you, man? So good to see you, brother.
You too, man. It's been too long. I'm doing solid, though,
I can't wait till we can physically kick it again and dap each other up, bro. I miss daps.
I miss the energy in the room when we're all together, yo.
Oh, my gosh, man. Like, yeah, even like when we do like a house party or just text each other, I'm just like, man, I miss this so much. You know, that connection and that vibe, man, it's undeniable, man.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it's just the flow and the fact that, again, it's that creative mind when you have so many people who just tap into that effortlessness, it just uplifts everyone. I think that's the greatest comment I've ever heard come out of your mouth. When, like, I think it was Big Pink came back and he was in the basement with everybody. And you're just like, oh, man, I feel like whenever one of us enters the room, I just feel our power grow. It's like, yes,
it's real, man. It's real. It's like, it's almost like you feel safer almost, right? It's just like, oh, yeah, you know your boys are here. You know your family's here. And you know everybody has their strengths and they got your back in one way or another, right? And that's what's so crucial about having a good team like that. And so we really evaluate that. And yeah, I feel it. You know, when somebody else comes in, it's like, oh, we grew one stronger, right?
Yes. Level
it,
up.
It really, like, that right there in a nutshell describes how much teamwork can help. You know, I think feel like a lot of people do stuff by themselves. And then it's like, not only am I happy that he came, but I'm less anxious because the work spread out more, right? Oh, okay. Yes. Now I know we're going to have a bass player. Like, I don't have to call somebody and try to, you know, like, oh, our bass player's here, and I know Evan's a badass. I know he's good at it. I know he kills it every show, right? So that's a big part of that enjoyment, is just like, you know, it's not just somebody walking in the room. It's somebody that we respect and that we have that love for and that admiration for, right?
Well, and it's that, I would think it almost, it's like that like-minded sense of really just peace and love and just how we're really trying to help ourselves, help each other, and really just change the game of music creation. So I think, what is it, like, now that I think about it, it's almost like a year since we met with the first tour. It was just getting ready, and I think that's one of the things that really stuck out, was just like seeing you just kind of low-key posted. I was just like, when once we got started talking and it was just meditation, spirituality, diving deep beyond just like, you know, the superficial stuff that everyone talks about, like, oh, how's your work, this, it was like, all right, I respect that. I'll mess with this squad. Let's go. Let's get it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was that, especially at that particular time in my life, was really when I was having this breakthrough, you know, and just shit. Awareness, you know, understanding of what's really going on and just, you know, speaking that language. You know, that's what I like to call it. It's just like, there's certain people, you know, it's kind of like music theory. I've taken it upon myself this quarantine to learn music theory, because when the band talks about, you know, oh, the song's F in 1-6-4-5, right? I used to always make jokes about, like, oh, you know, oh no, it's an A in 2-8-4-7, you know. Damo would make jokes and laugh about it. But, like, you know, at the end of the day, I'm like, you know, how cool. I sat down and had a conversation with myself, like, wait a second. Like, that's a joke, but in reality, if you knew that, you would be on another level. If you knew that language, right, all these musicians would look at you differently, right, because you understand their language. So, you know, I pretty much spent, you know, 4 to 5 days a week with Evan, you know, after he'd teach lessons all day. I've been doing this in quarantine. He'll hit me up like 8:39, fresh off a lesson, while he's making something to eat. Like, you ready? Pull up his worksheets that he does for his school he teaches, and me and him will just go at it, bro. I got the notebook just full. learning. Now I know how to transcribe my own music, bro.
Hey, there you go.
And so, like, yeah, bro, like, it's just crazy that, like, you know, it's just a language. The same thing with spirituality and communication. You know, I feel like everybody goes through these things and different points of their lives, but there's certain people I connect with where it's like, you can tell they're not bothered, you know, by the little things or the minuscule things. You can tell that they see the bigger picture, right? And so, and that they understand just by the way they talk, just by, you know, the words they use and the words they choose, right? And so, you know, that was something that I realized with you. It's like, I would call my friends after I had this awakening and just like really try to talk to them and just let them know, like, man, like, I don't even know you, bro. Like, we've been homies for so long. And they're just like, bro, you're right. That's crazy. You know, like, what do we have in common outside of partying and playing sports together? Like, what are your goals? What are you, you're having these real conversations with people. And so it's like, you know, when you have those conversations with somebody and they're not like, whoa, that's a great point. Or, you know, they're just like, yeah, yeah, I think about that all the time too. Or, you know, my, like, you know, after doing this, like, I had this different perspective of doing it like this. I'm like, oh, that's crazy, you know, like, really being able to reflect on that rather than, you know, enlighten somebody, right?
Yeah, well, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head, in my opinion, in terms of just you question things yourself. You really, like, you take the time to sit down, have a conversation with yourself and really evaluate things and kind of take that introspective, objective look at it. And right. I feel that's one of those things where I like really resonate with the realness in others, where it's like real recognizes real. And when you're about that in your life, it just kind of resonates off of you because you carry it with you, because you're always, it's less of like, oh, let me talk at you. And it's more like, oh, I'm curious. Let's share some perspectives and see how we can grow with this. And it's just right. It's that subtle aspect of the communication where I'm just like, okay, that's someone I'll mess with. Like, deep.
Let's get right, it. Right. You can't fake it. And it's like not, it's not confident. It's not arrogant. It's just, or it's not arrogant. You know, it's just like, just really being in your own skin. And like, that goes with communication too. Like, the way somebody talks to you will decide if you believe them or not. The tone of voice, your body language, all of that, right? And so it's like, when somebody says something to me that I don't know, right, my instincts will take over.
Oh yeah.
And you know, depending on how spiritually dialed I am in the moment will be how accurate it is, right? And so for me, like, what I realized, that gut feeling for me is just going against my beliefs, right? Whatever I have, that's just it. That's just as basic as it gets. That's my intuition. It's like, when I don't feel right, I'm like, wait a second, what belief am I going against right now in my mind that's making me right?
Yes, so, man.
But yeah, man, it's, I don't even know where we started in this conversation, but this is where it's at right now.
Well, exactly. It just flows, man. I think that's just the effortlessness of life, especially with two creative people. When you just get caught up in that flow, it just kind of, things bounce off each other. And I think that's kind of the thing about communication, when you actually have a real conversation with someone, is that it's not just a static and kind of like dual yes no back and forth kind of banter. It's more so just someone gets a chance to express themselves. It settles within the other person and you're like, I really feel that, this is kind of how I see things of that. And it becomes this beautiful image versus just a getting talked at. And I think that's such a subtle difference nowadays, is so many people I feel like talk at you versus really like curious about what you're saying or listening to you. Like, even that's
what I was just gonna say. One thing about you, Pete, is if somebody's talking to you, you are soaked up into them, right? You are giving them your attention, and it's just, like, you're listening. That's really what it comes down to. Listening is so important, and I feel like that's why a lot of people like to work with me, because I'm a good listener. you know. I'll sit there, listen and listen. And, you know, a lot of people, all of a sudden, being a good listener comes with hearing a lot of problems too, you know. And that's okay with me. But it's just cool to, like, understand that, you know, usually the problem people have is that nobody listens. And whatever the problem is, whatever the context is, once they tell me about it and actually have somebody listen, then they feel much better about it, regardless of what happened, right? They're just like, oh, man. And then, you know, I can give them an aware perspective, right? A perspective from back here that isn't so emotionally involved, right?
Yeah. And that's what it really takes. It's breaking that cycle of that kind of like knee-jerk reaction, the impulse to really, it's what you said earlier, like kind of you question your beliefs. And I think that's something
the paradigm.
Yeah. Because you're using all that to really just refocus it into, I think it's funny, Rusty and I were talking about it earlier, where it's, we both kind of use language towards ourselves where I'm like, oh, thanks, Past Pete, like for doing things that look out for the present self. And it's that same type of just like introspection where you're just like, oh, really? How can I look at this and learn from it so I can help the future self, future me, future other people? And I think it fundamentally comes with, again, like what you're talking about, listening and just seeing things objectively. Because when you're finally looking at things with that space, you're no longer distracted. You're not dialed in on one judgment or one paranoia or belief or whatever it is that you're caught up in. And you can just see things clearly.
And it's not just outward, it's inward too.
Oh, you know,
that's where the real growth starts, you know, is when you start looking at yourself introspectively. And that's where the music thing came in, where I wanted to play music theory. I kind of think of it like this. I'm like a supernaturally talented athlete, you know, when it comes to, I can make beats, I can play the piano, I can play the uke, I can sing, I can rap, I can write songs, all that, right?
Yeah.
But I don't even know how to read notes, you know? So it's just like, it's like I'm the guy
that shows drum up,
I'm the guy that shows up to the pickup game dunking on everybody. But I get in the game and don't know when to set a screen or when to roll, right?
Yeah.
You know, the fundamentals, the basics.
Mm-hmm. And
so I've always kind of thought like, ooh, that's just who I am, right? I'm just that, you know, I'm just naturally dope. And that's the cool thing about me. You know, I started to take pride in it. Then I'm like, wait a second. I could actually just learn that and be better, right? Like, I could just elevate myself. Why don't I just add that to my arsenal? You know, I want to be better. I want to play the piano better anyways, you know? Mm-hmm. So why don't I just do that? And so that's where I had the realization, like, okay. And then so guys like Evan, they nerd out about this stuff, you know? And the best explanation he ever gave to me for music theory was, it's like math you give a damn about, you know, like math you actually care about because there's music involved. And it's so much fun. He's so right. Like I'm telling Top and Nobi about it. And they're like, ooh, I want to learn. Like I would start all over again just to teach them. That's how interesting it is, you know? And so that's what's really cool about it is that Evan was just so excited. Didn't matter if he worked and did 10 lessons in a row. You know, he would call me while he's boiling up a cup of noodle or something just to, like, you know, get the lesson going. And so it's just so cool, man, to
that passion
to move past that natural talent, you know, really start to put in the work, you know, do those repetitions. Yeah. And it shows, you know, now every musician I talk to will look at me different. You know, because I speak that language, just like how you look at me different when we have a conversation, because we both understand that language, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, the communication is super key, man. And it's super key, and it tells me a lot about somebody, you know. I mean, it really tells me everything about somebody, because that's how everything gets started. That's how every idea gets created, is through the word.
Mm-hmm.
And so
Heck yeah, man.
It's important. It's important what we say, brother. So I knew when I talked to you, I was like, yeah, no, he knows what's up. Like, he's just on his own mission, doing his own thing, you know, in his own world, just, you know.
Refining myself, son. It's all we can do, because like you said it perfectly. And I think that's one of the subtleties that I like to always try to surround myself. I mean, obviously, with age and wisdom, I've, you know, learned some things about the people you hang around with. And it, one of the things that I'm all about is trying to surround myself with people who are all about uplifting others, because it just shows a very fundamental selfless nature of their being. And I think, again, you know me, I'm a man of subtlety. So it's these subtle things with that objective gaze where I'm like, oh, that says a lot about a person. And you said it perfectly. One of the reasons why I think the group, the squad, that we're all a family, because you're gaining this knowledge, you're gaining this wisdom. And immediately you're like, man, I got to tell these people about this. And you do it. You know what I mean? Like, you're talking right to people you think can benefit from it, because that's how much you respect the game of just being kind and being good. Because it's like, it's the same stuff with Evan. It's that passion for teaching. It's that passion for really spreading that knowledge. And he's like, oh yeah, I'm down. And when you tap into that with other people, you're surrounding yourself with that group. It's wild, man. It's wild.
I had to explain to him, I'm like, you don't understand how many people probably quit music theory because they didn't have a teacher like you, bro. Like, legitimately, I can walk through a problem, every problem. He'll do every problem with me, you know, until I feel comfortable enough to do a sheet, you know. And so, you know, he's just very patient, and it's just cool to have, like, when I have a question, to be like, what is this? Not like I'm in a classroom where there's a bunch of kids, right? It's just me. So I'm like, wait, why does this do this? Why does this do this? Why, even if it's a million times, he's like, it does it because of this. Even if I just asked it before, it's like, bro, just ask me again. Don't be shy. Like, I want you to understand it. So it's just like, man, it's really cool to have that. And then I kind of understood, like, these people that know music theory, they are dying to have these conversations. Like, I told a couple of my other musician buddies, and they're like, when are these meetings, bro? Like, I'm trying to nerd out. Like, I'd love to look at some worksheets, you know? I'm just like, I get it now. I'm like, okay. These guys, yes, they're onto something here. This is like, this is a fun thing. So,
well, it's that passion, man. And I think it's especially when you find like-minded people who have that passion to create, and again, just really add more tools to their tool belt. There's nothing better than that, because then you're not surrounding yourself with people who want to take that day off, that want to take that, oh no, I could just do it tomorrow. No, I don't need to learn that right now. And it's that initiative and drive. And that's honestly the most important thing about life, is like, if you don't have a drive for more, what are you doing? Like, where are you going to go? You can't just, because when we're stagnant, that's when things get bad. It's like, because you just naturally go backwards. There's no way right. You can.
Right. It's that, and that's why, yeah, momentum is so real, man. It's so real. And so, you know, it's just that snowball effect, man. You got to keep that snowball rolling, and you take one day off and that thing will melt, you know, to half its size. You take 2 days off and, you know, depending on your mental state, you know, it's just, that's another thing too. This next month we're going to be doing on The Cure, we're going to be doing raising money for the Hold Your Crown Foundation.
Oh, and nice.
Why
don't you tell the audience about that a little bit?
The Hold Your Crown Foundation is run by King Youngblood. Shout out to King Youngblood.
Yay.
This band's in Seattle. And shout out Laura Lavey. And they are basically a foundation that focuses on mental health. And so my last show at the Crocodile with Macintosh, you know, we donated all the proceeds straight to their foundation, and they've had over a million clicks through analytics from the youth on their hotline.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that is just monumental to know that, you know, a band just like the Martial Law Band, you know, from Seattle, making that big of an impact. And so I called Lara, who is Cameron, the lead singer of King Youngblood. It's his mom. And she's also a manager. She works with Marshall. She's an entertainment lawyer. She's amazing. Shout out, Laura. So I just called her and I was like, hey, we really want to, you know, donate money to your foundation. And she was just like, oh my God, that's so incredible. Like, so actually we're going to have Cameron on the show too. And probably a couple of guys from King and Blood. And, you know, it was just so cool because when we were on stage at the show, like we got to talk about, you know, our experiences with mental health, you know, even in front of 600 people, you know, when it seems like you're on top of the world, and you know, everything's so good, all the hard work to get to that point, and everybody looks at you like you're some god, right? Oh my gosh. And then you sit down and say, hey, for my set, I just want to let you guys know, like, I get depressed too, right? You know, like I have really hard days sometimes, you know, but you know, emotions come and go, you know, we'll get through this together. And like, if you guys ever need help, feel free to reach out to me or, you know, find that core group of people you can reach out to and talk to. And just being open and vulnerable in front of that crowd was huge. And McIntosh did it. Everybody that performed that night did it. It was just really cool. And that was one of the most monumental nights just from how many rappers and artists were there. And we took pictures after in the alley. And it was just insane. And
it was a great night, man.
A very monumental moment for the city. I feel like we all moved forward progressively and loving with love, right? And just openness and vulnerability. Yeah, it was a great moment. And so with that being said, it was an easy choice, especially in these trying times. And I believe actually May is Mental Health Month.
Oh, interesting. So, there you go. Lined up.
Well, yeah, it all worked out by coincidence. So big shout out to King Youngblood for pushing that initiative. Big shout out to Hold Your Crown Foundation, you know, for setting the example and, you know, like I said, impacting over a million lives, kids out there, not, you know. These aren't just, I'm sure more than that, but just a million kids to click on that link is, you know, makes me know it's going to the right place.
Oh, yeah. And it's such an important mental health and just being able to observe and process and really what to act on from your emotions, from the thoughts. It's so important because I think that's one of the plights, especially here in America, with kind of like that more spiritual. And for all those of you listening, I just want you to know that spiritual to me really just means that intangible. It's that stuff that we can't like pluck out of our heads. It's these things that we can't physically identify, but we just know, we feel, we still recognize these inner truths, these deeper yearnings, that, you know, that heart sensation of love. And it's one of the things that in school we get taught how to really just like sharpen this spear of the mind. And we, like from our generations, at least, you know, I was raised in that old school style. So emotional kind of expression wasn't really taught. And I think one of the things that really clicked for me later on in my life was that I saw a lot of conflict in my youth and I never saw any resolution. So even just kind of finding that point of, well, how do you get from A to B? Because I would always see, you know, I'd see the conflict, I'd see the resolution, but I'd never see the in-between. What's the missing piece? What's the missing puzzle? And I guess it's kind of the knock to the creative mind where it's, I feel like because naturally, you know, it's that tend to question and think things, you do have a lot more of those somewhat more dark and depressive thoughts because you're questioning the reality of things. And in school, when we don't get taught how to really understand the relationship between mind or those feelings that we have and how to really work with them, they, as we all experience, kind of just bum rush us and beat us up. And it's the importance of community, I find, more than anything. And just knowing that someone else sees the things that you see is all it takes. Because again, you know, I do a lot of spiritual work and I have meditation students and I practice and like and teach more so spiritual awakening. I kind of coach you through that process. And most of what I say, I'll tell you 100% right now, the students know in their heart. They like, because when they say it and when I say it and like, you can just see the reaction. It's just almost like, a sigh of relief, but also a sadness, because you spend so long telling yourself you're wrong. You spend so long telling yourself, you know, you don't need help. You don't need to talk to someone. You don't need this. You don't need that. And the moment you finally like break those beliefs and assumptions that we have, you just open that well of opportunity. And it's just an infinite ocean, man. And it's, I don't know, it's just so cool just to see the change of how culture has been when we were growing up through as kids to how it is now. Showing this as an appreciation, seeing it as a manly thing to be like, no, I'm going to address this. This is something I need to actually speak on, because we all have emotions, but I know I was raised to bottle that stuff deep.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, and I think that, yeah, like, you know, my dad is, you know, not super emotional guy. He was raised that way. My mom, she was raised that way, but she's very empathetic, right? And so, you know, I just think the combination of them really just gave me such a good idea. It all just started with family, you know.
Learning from your surroundings.
And loving, learning from the people. Yeah. Loving your family, family and respect. And that just goes so, so far. And I realize, like, how blessed I am, because there's a lot of people I know that don't have good relationships with their family. And they look at my life and like, man, like, that's so cool that you guys can all hang out, you know? So I'm definitely grateful for that. That's why I feel like, you know, I can spread the love, you know, and be optimistic and use that energy somewhere else, because a lot of people don't have that love and support. So,
well, it's the strength through your own journey, man. I mean, you trial by fire on all fronts. And I think, you know, I think that's one of the things that I've actually found is really connected a lot of us and the fam together, and just different creatives, just because it's when you still go through such trials and tribulations and you still have that heart of gold, you still want to help people, you still want to help each other grow, you still want to grow yourself, you don't want to quit, you know, right. It just really speaks so much to the strength and the compassion of your own heart. So, you know, it's just good. I always thank you for being in my life, man, because there's so many things that just that calm, cool, collected approach has been able to change things about other people's perspectives and how they handle situations. And it's just that objective viewpoint that I think more people need, you know, them creative minds like that in their life to really just calm them down from that egoic train of thought, the emotional reactions, just the physical indulgence and all that.
Exactly. Like you said, we'd have to change that paradigm.
Well, we're already doing it, man.
Yeah. And that's it. Yeah, that's just it. Everything we do is a habit. And so, you know, we have to change those habits. And one of the things I tried to do was, you know, I would always like, it went kind of both ways where it would be like, you should be able to say what you're thinking. Matter of fact, you should say what you're thinking and see what happens. And if you're thinking something negative, maybe you shouldn't think it. You know, whatever you can't say, maybe you shouldn't be thinking that, right? So I kind of put my mindset in like, oh man, like that girl has nice hair. I'll just like think that all the time, or, you know, just random stuff. That's a cool goat, whatever. So like I would like walk into the bar, I'm like, oh, like, I really like your hair. It's super nice. Oh my God, thank you so much. Like, that literally made my day. We start talking, like, yeah, yeah, have a good day. Like, not even trying to hit on her, nothing like that. Just, that's just what I thought, right? So that's
speaking
cool.
Speaking your truth, man.
Right? And then, like, I went to the bathroom at the Crocodile once. They have, like, the co-ed, like, where you wash your hands. And I saw this lady, and she had leopard pants. I was like, oh, those leopard pants are awesome. And like she like washing her hands, and she turns to me, and her face is like full of tears. She's just like, you have no idea how much that means to me, and just walked away. And I was like, cool.
You're just that sparkle of light, bro. And you know, I think that's
so it's like, but all, you know, it's like I feel like a lot of people think that, but they just, like you said, you know, they have those assumptions. They don't trust the universe. you got to just trust the universe to end. You know, 9.5 times out of 10, it'll probably work, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And if it doesn't work, then maybe you shouldn't do it, you know.
Yeah, tactfulness comes into play. But
you know, it's just life's telling you, like, you're not ready, you know. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of things like, oh, man. I remember when I was 17, like, ooh, I would buy this car, you know. Oh, if I just had the money, I'd buy this car and da-da-da-da-da. And now, like, looking at myself that age, I'm like, if I would have bought that car, I would have been an idiot, you know? Like, I'm so glad that the universe was like, you're not getting this car, bro. You're not ready, right?
Right.
You're not. So there's a lot of instances where we look at negative things, like stuff that we didn't achieve at our goals, or, but in reality, it's just our journey, you know, we're not ready. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, well, I completely agree. And I think the one thing though, is how many people are willing to look at those failures and those aspects of their assumptions and their desires that didn't really come to fruition like they thought they would. And how much does that usually break people opposed to kind of what you're talking about, providing an opportunity to look at it, providing an opportunity to reflect and learn and grow. And it's that inquisitive mind, man, that I've found is, I wouldn't say that it's rare. I would just say that it's more so because everyone is naturally curious. We all know kids, but I think it's something that really does get kind of beaten out of us depending on our situation, you know, depending on if we like, because think about it like this, like one of the saving graces I think of my childhood is whenever I asked a question, my parents would be like, look it up. That's it. But that right there, you know, as an adult, I look at it and reflect and I know that that simple inquisitive searching is what's brought me here. You know, right. Because in these moments right. I'm like really down and about. I'm just
you're
like,
oh. Kid, you're just like, God, my parents are dicks. They won't tell me what fucking 10 plus 10 is, you know?
Right.
Why can't they just tell me?
Gotta go look through an encyclopedia.
Right. So it's like you look it up, damn. You know, now you earn that knowledge, right? And that's what's crazy about that. It's, you know, I'm going to be doing the same thing. You know, I'm going to be spreading love and positivity and leading by example with my truths.
Yeah, man. Being that lighthouse of love, guiding those ships lost at sea. Just purely by your own shine, son.
There we go. And you're doing it too, man. So big shout out to you. Big shout out to Rusty. Thank you, Creative Chat, for having me on. It's just really cool, man. I love the platform. I love the idea that you guys are doing. And yeah, we need to have more of these real conversations. So I'm very thankful and grateful for Creative Chat.
Oh, thank you, man. Thank you, man. Well, I think that's our show for everyone. Thank you so much for watching. This is another episode of Creative Chat. Peter Lucas signing out with Tane Jr. Rusty, take us away.
That concludes this episode of Creative Chat. Thank you for watching. Join us every Thursday at 3:33 p.m. Pacific Daily Time as creative minds get together and chat about who knows what. Thanks again to our sponsors for making this show possible.